Today, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about a program called Cut Fusion that we did. My career, I've always been in brand. I'm pretty much a social neophyte in a lot of ways. My LinkedIn account hasn't been updated in 7 years, I don't think. I have an Instagram account just to follow our pages, so I'm a little bit out of depth here, but I think you'll hopefully get a different perspective of someone that comes from the brand lens and how I use social and how I look at social. And when it comes to ROIs, this one has a really big one. So we have that going for us. So first is people that say, oh, that's cool, is it fun? I say, yeah, no, it actually is as cool as you would think working on Reese's. I absolutely love my job. And you know, we have like crazy rabid fans who love our product, who name their kids it, who get tattoos, who make cars. This guy's hair looks like a peanut butter cup. I sent a tweet once from the brand handle, and both George Takei and Lil Wayne retweeted it, something I never thought would happen. That's my son right there. He's a little sick right now, but it's great to have a job where your kids know what you do. You know, a lot of us probably grew up and had parents that did jobs that my dad was in asset management, still to this day don't really have a great understanding of what he did. That's a secret product. That's my daughter's favorite. That was one of my daughter's favorite products. We've never launched it, but she kept asking for more, and I tried to explain to her that she's literally eating like a $500 piece of candy if I take into account the salaries of all the people that are making this in our technical center. And then I got to meet Mr. T, which was awesome. And he's exactly like what you would think Mr. T would be like all motivation all the time. So it's a fun job, and you know, and it's been great. So today I'm just going to talk to you about three kind of high-level learnings that I got from this campaign. And you know, one thing, in a lot of like the analytics, I'm more of the art. So in the art and the science, where I, you know, we all probably have a place that we go to that feels more natural to us. To me, it's art. And as a marketer, what social has done is this giant focus group where like every day I can get qualitative information. And you know, the three lessons that I learned from this campaign were, first was you have to be the brand. So establishing your social voice, you know, and really understanding who you are, because you have to make fast decisions in social. Things happen all the time. If you don't know who you are, it's really difficult. If you know who you are, it's just as easy as replying on your own Facebook page. Second is, I think we always overestimate risk. Obviously, I work at a really big company with a really big brand. It's also located in central Pennsylvania. We're not the most progressive. Traditionally, we have, we sell candy, so we're pretty risk averse. But I think I see opportunity. I always see opportunity. And so far, it hasn't really bitten me in the behind. So I'll keep doing that until we have something that really falls apart. But having the courage to kind of go out there and try something, I think, can get you pretty far. And then the third is, I really have fun at work. I really love what I do. And in this campaign, we've all been told not to do like the N of one, right? You're like, oh, that's just your opinion, that's just your thoughts. And like, yeah, that's probably really good advice overall, but there is something about just having fun and being who you are and bringing that to work, that energy and enthusiasm, that I really think helped this campaign. And there's kind of an interesting story about, and that's my wife and that's my daughter, and they somehow got involved in this campaign as well. So first is be the brand. And I don't know, have any of you heard of the All Trees Are Beautiful campaign that Reese's ran? Great, so finally someone's heard it. It's amazing like how often I ask, and I was like, no, never heard of it. And you know, those of us that work on our own campaigns, we're so proud, we thought like the world stopped and was like, oh my God, did you guys hear? It's like, you know, I thought it was as big as like Beyonce at Coachella or something, you know? So when this happened, we had just done like kind of a brand refresh, and we were like, hey, we're gonna be unapologetic. We're gonna really own like our brand. And we had this news come out that people said that our product looked like poop, right? And I remember it was the day after Thanksgiving, I came in, our vice president said, this is awful. I said, this is great. She goes, what do you mean it's great? They literally say your product looks like poop. And I said, no, but like, what do we always want? We always want engagement. We always want people talking about our brands. So they're like, okay, fine. Well, we just need to like apologize, go to the plant, film a video, let them know everything's okay. I said, what part of unapologetic is issuing an apology statement? The Hershey Company would say that. The Reese's brand would never say that, right? And so we were able to convince the power to be that. And this is what I took to them. I said, I took them what the people were saying. Like, what were consumers really saying? Like, yeah, that was a headline, but like, was it really a big deal? And people were saying, I don't care what they look like as long as they taste yummy. You know, if it looks bad, send it to my address. Like, people didn't care. And this was 2 weeks after, like, Starbucks had just been toasted for not having a red cup that wasn't festive enough. And there was this notion of, like, this is getting kind of silly. And I think there's a human truth about people don't really like bullies. People don't really like people that take things too seriously. And so we kind of took that through our own spirit, and we came up with All Trees Are Beautiful. This campaign ended up winning a Cannes Lion, and it came together in a half hour. And basically, after we did it, there's a quote from like one, you know, this was just one post that someone wrote, you know, and this is why you are my favorite candy brand, hands down. Hashtag respect for the way you responded to these not so perfect Christmas trees complaints. I love a Reese's Creations and nothing beats the deliciousness of every bite. All trees are beautiful indeed. Right? It was just a little bit of like, because you're reading constantly what your fans think of you and what they say about you, that you start to understand how should I act in social? What do they want from me? They didn't want an apology because they didn't feel bad. They thought it was ridiculous. The second was, you know, I go on all the time to see how people are using the product. And, you know, it's great because they're like kind of this big incubator lab, like research facility. So it's like, how are people using our product? Is there a new way for me to talk about it in the world? And so when you go on, you know, and I think someone might be in the, you know, looking for a wedding cake in this room, I would like to offer, these are make great groomsmen cakes, at least. But this is something that's happening naturally. So why would we not talk about it and exploit it? And so the story of Cup Fusion is I was on a train coming back from New York from our agency. And we just spent all day talking about our equity and all things Reese's. And I got a call from a vice president at our company and said, I need something. I need something to close out Q4. We don't have, you know, our sales are not coming in where we want. I need you guys to come up with an idea. That doesn't happen like in a candy company. Like big CPGs, we do things like years in advance. We don't turn around things. But we had like 30 minutes until we got back to Hershey. And I was just like, okay, fine. Let's just think of like an idea of like what we could possibly do. And so the first idea was let's put pretzels in Reese's. That's at a candy company, that's the first answer to everything. Because it adds texture, salty and sweet taste good together, and pretzels are pretty cheap. So like the first, like you just have to like get that one out of the way, right? That one is just like, okay, done. Second is like, it was like 2 or 3 years ago and it was like all about the birthday cake thing. Everything was a birthday cake. Right now we're in the glitter stage, right? Like 2 years ago we were in the birthday cake stage. Then there was like banana. We used to have this Reese's Elvis cup. It's like legend because people claim it's still out there, almost like Elvis himself, because it was so bad that no one bought it. So there's probably some, if you ever see one, do not eat it. It's like 20 years old. So those were like all the ones that we thought, but you know, I just started thinking about like, what is the most Reese's thing that we could do? Like what would our fans want? What are they would be going crazy for? Not like looking at like a usage occasion, not thinking about like so scientifically, like what are the need states? That's great. But like, just what would our fans do if we just make one? And I thought back to like the history of the brand. I thought back to like, you got your chocolate in my peanut butter ad. You know, most of you probably don't remember those ads, but a lot of you have probably seen it. This is like one of the first ads. It's like super awkward. And like all of a sudden at the end, some guy puts like a peanut butter cup behind him, you know, and it's, but we've always been about collaborations and kind of like happy accidents. People get excited when Jay-Z and Beyonce get together. They get excited when Krispy Kreme does the collab with Nike. These are just things that people get excited about. And so we said, let's just put our two equities that we had together. We're like, and immediately we're like, has someone thought of this before? And probably someone has, and they probably tested it, and they probably just like thought about it way too much. But we just said, yep, let's just do that. So that was pretty much it. 12 hours later, this is Dave Dalbert. He works in our tech center. I called him and said, hey, can you do this? Can you just make this? He made it for me. I tried it. It was delicious. Done and done. No research, no qualitative, no analytics, no nothing. It was, I think it sounds like a great idea. I tasted it. It tasted great. As you can imagine, it's candy inside of candy. You know, that's a pretty easy thing to have taste good. So that was it. And we did it. And we just moved fast and weren't afraid. So a little side note is, like, I told this story. So this, the number of people on the train, it was three of us. Two, and this is anatomically correct. Two women, one man. If you go to Hershey and ask who developed Reese's Pieces Cup, this doesn't even begin to tell you. And so it's a lesson I've learned in life that, you know, they, what they say is success has no orphan and failure has no children. So I give that to those of you that are younger in your career. Don't feel obliged to ever claim your failures. You know, just count your successes. And when you do something great, you'll be shocked at how many people worked on it with you. I was giving this presentation internally, though, and I forgot. And I was like, oh, no, what am I going to do? So I was here, and I was like, this is not going to go well. So I said, at this point, I just said, you know, there was three of us on that train, but it took all of us. I mean, it took every single one of you, and they loved it. So you got to be quick on your feet, too, in life. So the other is see opportunity where others see risk. Right? So there's always, like, so much risk. And so I was at my desk, and one of my associates came up to me and said, it's on the internet. I said, what do you mean it's on the internet? It hasn't even launched. Like, this doesn't, like, this is not true. Like, it is not out there. She's like, no, it is. I said, yeah, no, but it's not because, like, we haven't launched it yet. And she's like, well, do you want to just come look at my computer? Or, like, how are we going to get it? I said, okay, got it. So I went over, and it was posted online. And these aren't even, like, the right images. And so, I, you know, the first thought was, what was your first thought if something gets leaked? How the hell did this happen? Right? Like, this is so secretive, right? Like, oh my God, you know. That was my first thought. The second thing, though, was, as I said, we had never tested anything. So I was like, oh, what do people think about it? Because, like, I literally had no feedback outside of, like, our own people on the brand team. And what I noticed was that this thing had 5,000 comments and 39,000 shares. Which even for a big brand like Reese's are really big numbers, especially when you're thinking about not putting any real paid behind it. And yeah, this was when there was organic, but it was just a blogger. It wasn't like if this was on time.com. And so I started thinking, is this such a bad thing? You know, is this such a bad thing that maybe this thing got leaked online? And we never do anything until the product's launched, right? Because you don't want, why would you create demand when you don't have any supply? So we never spend any money. The rules of thumb are wait until it has 60% distribution. That this was still 3 or 4 months before the product would even hit shelves at all, let alone, you know, having 60% distribution. So we could just say, let's just not do anything, ask the woman to take it down, say, hey, I don't know how you got this, but this shouldn't be out. Or we could just kind of like roll the dice and kind of come up with an idea the same way we did with All Trees Are Beautiful. And so I wanted to do that. But then there was the Lindsey Vonn situation. So timing is never perfect. And what had happened was we had just signed Lindsey Vonn and we had making her the face of our Summer Olympics campaign. And which is fine, but that was already a sunk cost, right? But it's really hard. We all wrestle with the fact that this is what we're doing. We put all our effort, our money behind it. This is, you know, we had shot all of these assets. We had a whole campaign, do summer like a Winter Olympian, and she was just going to have fun and do, like, you know, crazy sports. And so there was a lot of resistance about, should we do it now? We can't really start a new campaign. We have to be concentrated. We need the ad agency focused. We can't have them diverting their attention. And, you know, basically, the other thing was that we just don't do this, right? So in 89 years of the brand, we had never done this. So we had these tried and true principles and practices that I just wanted to violate completely. And so my boss, it was the woman that actually recruited me from business school, and she's like, I don't want you being distracted by this and just working on this. We got real priorities that we need to focus on. Like, this is great, but, like, this is not our big bet. I can't have you focus on it. And I said, yeah, no. And first she didn't want to do it. I said, like, yeah, no. But I said, I promise you, I will not let this, like, overtake what I want to do. So she says, fine, you can do it. I mean, of course, like, I immediately stopped doing everything and just worked on this. But she knew me, and so I didn't feel bad because she knew what she got. Like, I was a known quantity. She knew when she gave me an inch, I was taking a mile. So she had all these doubts and these questions, and it was like, oh, we don't have a campaign. How will the fans react? We can't control the messaging, all this stuff. But I just thought back to, like, you know, what would our brand do? Like, what would Cutmoji was our kind of, like, fearless icon. He's not, I don't know how scary he looks there. But, you know, it was kind of like, what would the brand do? The brand's not going to worry about all these things. You know, like, if you act like your brand, like, and our fans aren't going to take everything so seriously. Just go out there and try something. And so with that, we launched CutFusion with these assets. So I had a Cutmoji guy, I had a packaging, and I had two images. So I said, are we okay? And she goes, fine. Basically, go do it. And so with that, it was time for me to have some fun. And, you know, I really love my job. You can probably tell. It's just great to be able to have the ability to, like, connect with people and talk with people and to have budgets that can go out and reach people. And I think it's really important to keep having fun in all of, like, your jobs. Like, I think it comes across in the work. I just, you know, and especially within the social space, like, it doesn't, even if it's not your personality, if you're running a handle, even if it's not your personality, like, if you don't like it, like, if you don't love it, it's probably not as strong as it could be. And so with this, it was time to take this little leak and turn it into a tidal wave. Because I had spent so much time, like, first focused on the leak and, oh my God, how did this come out? It then dawned on me. I was like, well, there's 40,000 shares. There's still 330 million people. This isn't actually a real big leak. And so I spent all this time saying, how are we going to do this? How are we going to handle it? But I had to figure out, like, how do we actually now expose the leak? And since it was on Facebook, we had to come up with, like, a clever way to do something. And so it was a Wednesday, and Thursday was Cinco de Mayo. And I was like, oh, let's do, like, a piñata cup. And we had done something earlier where we had made, like, an April Fool's joke, and we had made some, like, random flavor of Reese's, and people really liked it because it was just different and fun. And so I said, hey, let's, you know, make a piñata cup. So sometimes I'm a visual person. I don't have any design background, but, you know, I'm a marketer with PowerPoint and Google Images. That's kind of my skill set. And sometimes it's easier to communicate, like, visually than it is with words. And so I mocked this up in PowerPoint. And I sent it to the agency and said, hey, I want something like this. The next thing I know, it's online. And if you look at it, like, it like violates, like, every practice you would want in, like, good art and, like, good Facebook posting. So it's like, it literally had this white background. It wasn't even, like, 1:1. It was, like, 6x9 with extra white space. These have drop shadows. These don't. They're not even, like, they're different widths. They don't even line up. And so by the time I got a call from, like, one of my closest allies, who's a designer at the company, she goes, who the hell did this? This is, like, awful. And I said, I don't know. I mean, I think it works. I mean, I go, look, there's, like, hundreds of comments and thousands. No one's saying, she's like, but it's terrible. Do you see it? I was like, I don't know. She's like, what did you do? I said, I may have done it in PowerPoint. She goes, you know, she goes, that's why you're not on the design team. So, but it wasn't that big a deal. Like, no one cared, right? I mean, it was the idea, and it was the getting fast, and it was the taking the opportunity when you had it. And so the next post was inspired by my family. So it was Sunday, happened to be Mother's Day. And so we were thinking about, you know, we're kind of setting the bait at this stage about, like, what's happening, what's going on. And, you know, the next thing was, okay, people started saying, is this happening? Is this not happening? Is this happening? Is this not happening? Are you just doing, like, a joke because it was Cinco de Mayo? So we needed to have another post that was kind of, like, culturally relevant happening at the time, but that was still not really telling them that was happening, but, like, kind of hinting that maybe it was happening. Because our personality is kind of devilish and playful. So rather than just tell them it was true or not true, we decided we'll just keep playing this along. So the next post was based on Mother's Day. And my wife always tells my kids, like, you're so cute, I could eat you up. And so I thought, oh, this is perfect. We'll just use that. I mean, I don't have to go to the store. I don't have to get a Mother's Day present. I'll just say, look online. Everything was working out, like, beautifully on this. So with this, we invented candy cannibalism, I guess. And it was like, you're so cute, I could eat you up. Avant, not again. And we just did it, and it was great. And, like, you know, people just went crazy, right? So this was the plan. So did it work? Well, studying debate definitely worked. So between those two posts and significantly more than $10,000 of paid support, we got enough momentum that people started talking about it and people started asking questions. And then you got to have these great engagements with the brand voice and people kind of back and forth, bantering back and forth. Next was we wanted to create the confusion. Is it real or is it not? Because our idea was, even though this was going to be a socially led campaign, what we really wanted to do was be able to package this story up and get earned media to make it really explode. So we were very intentional about, as we were doing things socially, what do we need to do to get a story that could give us a good enough hook to have time, to get Good Morning America, to have everyone interested in it. And finally, we were going to have a big reveal at the Sweets and Snacks show, which was 2 weeks later. So from setting the bait to the big reveal, it was going to be 2 weeks. So everything was working great. People were super excited. Is this really happening? Seriously, make this happen. All kinds of things were great. Like 3 days later, they were already annoyed. It was, oh, are you finally going to comment when this is coming out instead of making 1,000 posts a day and then ignoring people when they ask? I'm like, okay, maybe we need to kind of accelerate things. So we went in with a strategy, but from a timing and a tactics, we kind of had the confidence in ourselves to know that we would know when to pivot and when to adjust, right? And I think that's something, if you, once again, going back to being the brand and knowing your social voice, when you know these things, you have the confidence to react differently and to make changes on the fly. Sometimes people are so wedded to the tactics of the timing that they lose sight of what the strategy was in the first place. If you know what the strategy is, the tactics can, then timing can kind of shift a little bit. So we knew what we wanted to do, so this was not a big deal. We just said, well, let's move faster. And this is kind of what happened. Let's see if I can get this to play.
Reese's Pieces and peanut butter cups had a baby.
Yeah?
This is the most beautiful baby that I think
is ever created.
This is so good.
So yeah, so it worked really well. And then we still had Lindsay, like, she was a sponsor. So we were like, oh, well, let's just have her eat one online. So she was super cool. She was like, yeah, we'll do a Facebook Live. And it was one of those situations where you think, you know, we're a big company, but we were still like, we didn't have an internet connection. She was in a cab, like, she was in a limo, and it was like all problematic, you know. It was like, it was just really funny, the whole thing. And the first thing she does is she's opening and she's like, oh my God, this was delicious. This is amazing. And she takes a bite and she's like, oh, I thought there'd be more pieces. I was like, hey, great. Thanks, Lindsay. You know, so, but nonetheless, I mean, we kept going. And so there's always risk, right? Like, you're doing a Facebook Live. Like, was that exactly what I wanted her to say? Like, absolutely not. But like, it's okay. Like, life went on and people still bought Reese's peanut butter cups the next day. So, you know, what happened was we wanted to do, like, I think we had planned, like, maybe like this would be a $5 million item, a $10 million item, right? So for Reese's is about a $2 billion brand. So it's not, this was not gonna, supposed to be a really big thing. It was supposed to just really get us through the year, fill a gap. What happened was, because we kind of pounced on this opportunity, everyone loved it. And we said, well, actually, I think we can make it bigger. So since it launched, it's probably sold over $180 million. So it's one of those things that if we didn't take the chance and didn't have the risk, it was really born out of understanding our fans from watching them on social. It was then taking the risk. And then it led us to now change and once again kind of pour more gasoline on the fire. So we had no plans to do TV. We had no plans to do more paid social. And we certainly didn't have any plans to do new items. This is supposed to just be an in and out. But because we took that risk, we didn't have to take it all at once. Once we started working, we just kept pouring more gas. And I think I have some of the intro commercials. Yeah, we got a little self-indulgent, I think. We probably didn't need to be making like 6 ads, but Reese's ads are relatively inexpensive to produce because they're digital. So it was a lot of fun, and I think it changed how people at the company even think about going to market. One of our sales guys, he called me up and he said, "This was the easiest sale I've ever made." We had buyers from the major, like, you know, the Walmarts, the Krogers, calling them and saying, "Why the hell am I hearing about this on social media, not from you?" Because it was supposed to only go into like one channel, and so it was supposed to be small. It got so big that now we realize that doing some pre-buzz can actually help you sell in product, right? If you show that the world cared, it's a lot easier, and the buyers are obviously going to be following your Facebook page, your Instagram account, and so it changed how we think about doing things. And I think, you know, it goes back to just these 3 basic principles. It's like all we really did, it wasn't complicated, right? Is we just acted like the brand, which shouldn't be hard, but a lot of us don't take the time to develop that brand voice, or we are afraid to act like the brand and how we should react. Just see opportunity. Don't freak out about the risk. Just, you know, just go for it. And then finally is have fun. Like, not everything's going to be perfect, but if you're having fun, I just feel, especially if you have a brand personality like Reese's, if you can channel that, it comes across in the work. And it just makes it that much more real and authentic when people are watching it. So with that, if you have any questions, I'd love to answer them. Yeah, I think it's tough, right? And I think, you know, one thing, you know, I've had people say, "Well, he is Star-Lord from this movie," or "He's more of like a John Cusack," or, you know, I think sometimes helping people like personify it is okay. But another exercise that I like doing is just showing like a response matrix, right? So that people can feel better about, like, if someone says these 3 negative things, this is how we would respond. If they say these positive things, this is how we respond. If these neutral things, this is how we respond. These things are so toxic, we're not going to respond. And it starts to just show, it starts to like help people paint that picture of who this person is, because it's very difficult to like understand who someone is. Just like, "Trust me, I got this." So you need to really paint that picture. So whether it's through using a famous person and saying they're going to kind of be like Jerry Seinfeld, or whether it is doing an actual response matrix about like an upcoming campaign. Because when we go out, we'll say, "Well, there could be some risk here. What if people say, 'Great, you're putting too much candy inside of candy.' Like, how would we respond?" It's like, okay, that one we're not going to respond to. So I think those are 2 exercises. The other piece of advice that I give people is you know, in this story I kind of alluded to, my boss just knew there was almost like no stopping me, right? And I think sometimes we look for no from management. And I can't think of any project that I've really had that I was super passionate about that I got a no on. Like an outright no, you know? And I think too many of us, there's these times when it's like, yeah, they don't want to do it. Well, like, people don't want to do anything, right? That's not like what they've normally done before, right? So that's always kind of the initial thing. But like, just keep pushing and try to get to the yes. And just keep passionately kind of advocating your point, like not being obstinate or insubordinate. But I do think that people accept no way too soon in a lot of these negotiations. No, I totally forgot this time, and it's bad, especially because this would be perfect timing right before lunch. I used to, when I sell in to buyers sometimes, I'll try to schedule the meeting at 11. Because like at 11, like I don't care what it is, it's going to taste good, and let alone if it's candy. So when I go in, I try to sell it in. So I apologize. That's definitely, that's on me. I get asked that question all the time. Like one woman said, she was saying something about like, yeah, what are you going to do? I said, you understand it's like fundamental to the equity. Like it was like by definition, like what the product is. So I unfortunately say we'll have to wait for science to help solve that issue for you, because I don't think I can.